Supplementary explanation. Ransom. The price paid for the redemption of a captive person, mortgaged property or debt, the act of solving a problem with money, used most often as the positive representation of redemption, for example. Exodus chapter 21 verse 30, sum of money. Numbers chapter 35 verses 31 to 32, and Isaiah chapter 43 verse 3, ransom. In the New Testament, Matthew chapter 20 verse 28, and Mark chapter 10 verse 45 describe ransom as the payment of money. Atone, atonement. The ritual of passing all the sins of humanity on to Jesus. In the Old Testament, atonement was the passing on of sin to a sacrifice by the laying on of hands on its head. In the New Testament, it means the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist. In Hebrew and Greek, this word means the passing of sin on to Jesus Christ so that sinners may enter the right relationship with God. The New Testament well illustrates the offering for atonement, the baptism of Jesus and his death on the cross. In the Old Testament, the word atonement is used almost 100 times in the Old Testament, and it is always expressed as, for example, Leviticus chapter 23 verse 27, chapter 25 verse 9, Numbers chapter 5 verse 8, kafar in Hebrew, usually written as make atonement. Atonement is a translation of a Hebrew word signifying the passing on of sins by the laying on of hands on the head of a live goat and confessing over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel, Leviticus chapter 16, verse 20. In the New Testament, atonement is related to the Aramaic kafar, which means to cover. This means the baptism of redemption of Jesus in the New Testament. Jesus came to this world and was baptized at the age of 30 to fulfill the salvation of all humanity. The Biblical Atonement. A. In the Old Testament, atonement was usually given through the sacrifice of an animal, for example, Exodus chapter 30 verse 10, Leviticus chapter 1 verses 3 to 5, and chapter 4 verses 20 to 21. B. In the New Testament, the concept of the sacrifice of atonement of the Old Testament was maintained, but the redemption of humankind is related to Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, "Jesus Christ died for our sins," 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 3. The word atonement was used not to refer to the death of Christ, only to expiate original sin, but to take away all the sins of people. And after the baptism through which the sins of the world were passed on to Jesus, Matthew chapter 3 verse 15, he saved humankind by bleeding on the cross, Leviticus chapter 1 verses 1 to 5, John chapter 19 verse 30. The Apostle Paul explains in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 14 that one died for all, then in the 21st verse, for us, in Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, having become a curse for us. Among many verses in the New Testament which refer to Jesus as the sacrifice, for example, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2, or John chapter 1 verse 29 and 36, Lamb, John the Baptist, and 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, our Passover, the Apostle Paul. Paul specified that the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan was the atonement for all the sins of the world. He explains in Romans 6 that all the sins of the world were passed on to Jesus through the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist. He goes on to explain that the crucifixion of Jesus was the judgment and compensation for sin, that the sacrifice of atonement was offered for the souls of all people. The death of Jesus signifies to us the sacrifice of atonement in the Old Testament. the laying on of hands in the Old Testament and the baptism of Jesus in the New Testament are in accordance with the law of God, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10, Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17, Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 to 10 and 18, 1 Peter 3, verse 21. The New Testament does not end with the baptism and the death of Jesus, but goes on to tell us the fulfillment of salvation is our being baptized into Christ and dying with Him, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 7, Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 to 21, 20. It tells us that Jesus Christ was baptized by John the Baptist to take away all the sins of the world, and that He was crucified as a result. Jesus Christ, through His baptism and blood, not only washed away the sins of the world and endured the resultant pain, but also saved us from the power of Satan and returned Him to the power of God by accepting punishment in the place of mankind. Therefore, the redemption of Jesus solved the problem of sin, which was blocking people from being close to God. This momentous event restored peace and harmony between people and God, bringing salvation, joy, Romans chapter 5 verse 11, life, Romans chapter 5 verses 17 to 18, and redemption, Matthew chapter 3 verse 15. John chapter 1 verse 29, Hebrews chapter 10 verses 1 to 20, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, Colossians chapter 1 verse 1:14 at the same time. The Day of Atonement. In Hebrew, this concept means the day of covering or reconciliation. The most important day for the Jews was the Day of Atonement on the 10th day of the 7th month, Leviticus chapter 23 verse 27 and chapter 25 verse 9. We can see in Leviticus 16 that even the high priest could not enter the most holy place except for specified rituals. The most holy place itself needed atonement as well as the people of Israel. Thus, the high priest had to offer the sacrifice in order to pass on sins, by laying his hands on the head of the sacrifice. The children of Israel thought about the holiness of God and their sins on the Day of Atonement. At that time, as many as 15 offerings, including the scapegoat, 12 burnt offerings, and 3 offerings of atonement were placed before God, Leviticus chapter 16 verses 5 to 29, Numbers chapter 29 verses 7 to 11. If we count the other lamb mentioned in Numbers chapter 28 verse 8, there are 13 burnt offerings and 4 offerings of atonement. The day Israelites atoned for the year's sins was the 10th day of the 7th month. By the same token, the Day of Atonement for the whole world was the day Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. It was the Day of Atonement for all mankind, Matthew chapter 3 verses 13 to 17. It was the day God washed away all the sins of the world, Matthew chapter 3 verse 15. It was the Day of Atonement on which God, for thus, fulfill all righteousness. The Sacrifice of Atonement. In the Old Testament, just like the other sacrifices, the sacrifice of atonement was offered in the tabernacle. The high priest cleaned himself and put on the holy linen garments instead of the usual formal dress for rituals, and selected a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering for himself and his house, Leviticus chapter 16 verses 3 to 4. The high priest laid his hands on the head of the offerings to pass on the sin. The laying on of hands was an essential part of the Day of Atonement. If it had not been so, without the laying on of hands, atonement for sin could not be achieved, and therefore, sacrifices could not be offered, nor could the yearly sins of Israel be passed on. In Leviticus chapter 16, verse 21, Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. He took two goats as sin offerings and a ram as a burnt offering from the people, Leviticus chapter 16, verse 5. Then he presented two goats before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle and cast lots to select the one for the Lord and the other to act as the scapegoat. The one for the Lord was offered as a sin offering, and the scapegoat was offered alive before the Lord to atone for the yearly sins of the people of Israel, and then put out into the wilderness. Leviticus chapter 16, verses 7 to 10. The sins of the Israelites had to be passed on to the scapegoat by the laying on of hands. Then the scapegoat, which took on itself all the sins of Israel, was put out into the wilderness for peace between people and God. Thus the yearly sins of Israel were washed away. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ was baptized by John the Baptist, the laying on of hands in the Old Testament, and took away all the sins of the world as the sacrificial lamb to fulfill the salvation of God, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 22, Matthew chapter 3, verse 15, John chapter 1, verse 129 and 36. In the Old Testament, before the casting of lots, Aaron killed the young bull as a sin offering for himself and his house, Leviticus chapter 16, verse 11. Then he took a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar, before the Lord with his hands full of sweet incense beaten fine, and took it beyond the veil. Then he put the incense on the fire before the Lord so that the cloud of incense might hover over the mercy seat. He also took some of the blood of the bull and sprinkled it with his finger on and before the mercy seat seven times. Leviticus chapter 16, verses 12 to 19. On the Day of Atonement, the laying of Aaron's hands on the head of the offering could not be omitted. Aaron laid hands on the goat and passed all the sins and all the iniquities of the Israelites onto his head. Then a suitable man took the goat into the wilderness and sent it forth. The scapegoat wandered in the wilderness with the sins of Israel and died for them in the end. This was the sacrifice of atonement in the Old Testament. It is the same in the New Testament, except it was Jesus Christ as the scapegoat who took away all the sins of the world upon himself through his baptism and bled and died on the cross for us. Therefore now, the salvation from all sins cannot be brought without the baptism and crucifixion of the heavenly high priest, Jesus Christ. This is the fulfillment of salvation, of being born again, of water and the Spirit. The laying on of hands. This is the process for the passing of sin on to the sin offering in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 4, verse 29, and chapter 16, verse 21. In the days of the Old Testament, God allowed people to atone for their sins by laying hands on the head of their sin offering inside the tabernacle, and it reveals the baptism of Jesus to come in the New Testament. Baptism. Baptism means, first, to be washed, second, to be buried, to be immersed, and third, in its spiritual meaning, to pass on sin by the laying on of hands, as done in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist was to wash away all the sins of the world. The baptism of Jesus has the meaning of taking away the sins of man, to wash away the sins of the world. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, the representative of all human beings and the high priest in the tradition of Aaron, and took all the sins of the world upon himself. This was the purpose of his baptism. The spiritual meaning of the word baptism is to pass on, to be buried. So, the baptism of Jesus means that all sins were passed on to Jesus and that he was judged instead of us. In order to save mankind, Jesus had to take away our sins and die for them. Thus, his death is also the death of you and me, all the sinners of the world, and his resurrection, the resurrection of all people. His sacrifice is the salvation of sinners, and his baptism is the testimony to washing away all the sins of humankind. The Bible tells us, there is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. The baptism of Jesus is the righteous way of saving humanity by washing away all our sins. Sin. Everything that is opposed to God is sin. This refers to all sins, including original sin, and the trespasses that we commit ourselves throughout our lives. Sin in Greek is hamartia, and to sin is hamartano, which means to miss the mark. Hence, one of the most serious sins is to incorrectly believe in Jesus and thus lack the ability to be saved. To neither know nor believe in the truth is to commit the sin of disobedience and have disdain for God. If we truly do not want to sin before God, we have to understand the words of God correctly and realize the truth that Jesus has become our Savior. We should believe in the baptism of Jesus and his cross through the words of God. It is a sin not to accept the word of God and to deviate from the truth and believe in false theories. The Bible tells us that the most serious sin is not to believe that God washed away all the sins of the world. We have to believe in the birth of Jesus, in his washing away of sin through his baptism, and in giving us life with his blood on the cross. It is a sin if one does not believe in the written words that Jesus was baptized and died on the cross and was resurrected to free us from our sins. Repentance. When one who has drifted away from God realizes their sins and thanks Jesus for washing them away and comes back to God, this is called repentance. All of us are lumps of sin. True repentance is to admit the following truth. We must admit that we are sinners before God and that we cannot but sin all our lives and go to hell when we die. We must also admit that we have to receive Jesus by believing that he came to this world to save sinners like us, and that he took away all sins through his baptism, and died and was resurrected to save us. True repentance is to give up our own thoughts and return to God, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repentance is to admit our sins and turn back to the Word of God, to accept the salvation of the water and the blood with all our hearts, 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. True repentance is to acknowledge ourselves as complete sinners and to believe in Jesus, the Son of God, as our Savior who saved us from all our sins. In order to be saved and be washed of all sins, we must stop trying to be clean through our own works and admit that we are complete sinners before God and His laws. We then have to accept the truth of His salvation, the gospel of the water and the Spirit, the salvation which Jesus gave us with His baptism and blood. A sinner has to give up all their own thoughts and will and return to Jesus completely. We will be saved when we come to believe that the baptism of Jesus was to take all our sins onto himself. In other words, believe in the fact that the baptism of Jesus, his crucifixion, and his resurrection were the way to save sinners. Jesus came in the flesh and was baptized and was crucified to wash away all our sins. Having complete faith in all this, and believing that Jesus was resurrected to become the Savior of all those who believe in him, is true repentance and genuine faith. Salvation. Salvation means to be saved from drowning. We receive salvation when we admit that we cannot but go to hell for our sins and believe that Jesus saved us from all our sins through his birth and baptism and the blood on the cross. Those who become cleansed of sins by believing in the salvation of Jesus, the baptism and blood of Jesus are called the saved, the born again, the righteous. We can use the word salvation for those who have been saved from all their sins, including original sin and their daily sins, by believing in Jesus. Just as a drowning man is saved, the man drowning in the sin of the world can be saved by believing in Jesus as their Savior, by believing in his baptism and blood, by believing in the words of the spiritual truth. Born again. It means to be born the second time. A sinner is born again when they are saved spiritually by believing in the baptism of Jesus and in his cross. We are born again spiritually by believing in the baptism and the blood of Jesus. The born again are those who have been washed of all their sins and are without sin, waiting for Jesus' coming. Atonement for sins. This important concept is also known as the taking away of sin. When we are made clean all at once from all sins through the gospel of water and the Spirit, the sins are washed away. The faith in the gospel of the water and the Spirit is to believe in Jesus' existence as the Son of God, his coming to this world in human flesh, his baptism and crucifixion for the salvation of us all. The redemption Jesus gave man is through the faith in his baptism and blood, as recorded in the New Testament, that Jesus himself would save all people from sin. The redemption in the Bible points to the washing away of sins through faith in the baptism of Jesus and his blood. All sins were passed on to Jesus, so there is no longer any sin in the hearts of humankind. We can declare ourselves saved and righteous only when we hand over all our sins to Jesus through the baptism of Jesus. Jesus Christ. Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Jesus refers to the Savior, the one who has saved all people from their sins. Christ, the Anointed. There were three official roles for which people were anointed by God. Jesus fulfilled all of them. First, that of a king. Second, that of a prophet. And third, that of the high priest of heaven. Jesus Christ was all these. We have to believe in Jesus as the king, the prophet, and the priest who brought us redemption and salvation. Thus we come to call him Jesus Christ. He was the heavenly high priest who saved us from all the sins of the world with his baptism and blood. Therefore, he is the king of all who believe in him, and he makes us realize our sins when we come before him. He taught us that we are sinners from the time of our ancestors, that as the descendants of sinners, we were born sinners, and that as a result, we are under the judgment of God. He also taught us that we are washed of our sins through his baptism and blood. He did all these works for us sinners. Why did the Son of God become a man? He became a man to be the Savior and save all sinners from sin, judgment, and hell. Who is Jesus? As stated in Genesis 1, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. He is the Creator, the true God, the God of all the universe who saved all sinners from the sins of the world. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, who, being in the form of God, John chapter 1, verses 2 to 3, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Jesus is the God of creation, the master of the universe. However, many people fail to be saved by not believing in the love and salvation coming from Jesus when he came down to this world in the flesh. But those who believe in all these things are saved through faith, become the people of God, and gain everlasting life by believing in him. They have become the righteous. What is the law ordained by God? God is the planner, the only true God, and the absolute being. Therefore, he set up the law in the world for the following purposes. First, he gave sinners his law and commandments to save them from their sins. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Second, the second law he gave us is the law of faith that saves sinners. It is the law of the Spirit of life, Romans chapter 8, verse 2, that grants access to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, Romans chapter 5, verses 1-2. Jesus came down to this world to fulfill the law he ordained and was baptized and bled on the cross and was then resurrected. Jesus set up the law of salvation to save all the sinners of the world. Third, God ordained the law of faith for those who believe in the salvation of the water and the Spirit. Anyone who wants to be saved and become the Son of God has to believe in the law of faith God ordained. It is the only way to salvation. Fourth, he allowed the heaven to those who believe in the spiritual salvation of the truth. The law of God, the Ten Commandments. There are 613 articles of law in God's law concerning everyday life, but the gist of it is the Ten Commandments, which we have to keep before God. There are orders and prohibitions such as do this and don't do that. These are the guidelines to live by, and the commandments of God were given to us so that we might realize our sins. Through the written commandments of God, we can recognize how much we disobey God, Romans chapter 3, verses 19-20. The reason God gave us his commandments is to make us realize our sins. We can never keep all his commandments, so we must humbly accept the fact that we are sinners before we believe in Jesus. We must never commit the sin of arrogance by trying to live by his commandments. We are all sinners, and God knows that we can never live according to his law. So he came down to this world as a man and was baptized and judged on the cross. The law shows how perfect the law of God is, as well as how weak we human beings truly are. At the same time, the holiness and perfection of God are revealed in the law of God. Do we have to believe in Jesus? Yes, we have to. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Because he is our Lord, because he is the most righteous, and because it is his will. There is no other Savior, since only Jesus is our Savior. We can be redeemed and be born again only by believing in him. Because we can only go to heaven and live forever by believing in him, we have to believe in him. Why do we have to believe in Jesus? We have to believe in Jesus, first, to fulfill the will of God. Second, to be saved from all our sins. Third, to be saved and enter the kingdom of heaven so that we may live forever with the Lord. Can we, believing in Jesus, still be sinners? No. The Apostle Paul said, remembering the days before he met Jesus in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, "Sinners, of whom I am chief." These days there are many who think that they are sinners even when they believe in Jesus, but it is not true. We are all sinners before we believe in Jesus. However, once we believe in Jesus correctly according to his word, we become righteous immediately. The Apostle Paul remembered the time before he knew Jesus and confessed that he was the chief of all sinners. However, Paul, when he was called Saul, met Jesus on the road to Damascus and realized that Jesus was his Savior, and he believed and thanked Jesus. Then, for the rest of his life, he witnessed that the righteousness of God, the baptism of Jesus, was to take away the sins of the world, and that he had to die to blot out the world's sins. In other words, he became a servant of God who preached the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Misunderstanding this confession that he was the chief sinner before he was saved, before he met Jesus, many think that the Apostle Paul was a sinner even after he met Jesus. The truth, however, is that he was no longer a sinner, but one who could face Jesus any time he wanted. He had lived preaching the gospel of salvation, the redemption of the baptism and blood of Jesus. Even after he went before God, his letters are left to us in the Bible, testifying that the gospel of the water and the Spirit was the gospel of the early church. Hence, the confession of the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, was a recollection of his old days and a thanksgiving to the Lord as well. Was he a sinner after he believed in Jesus? No. Before he was born again, he was a sinner. At the moment he believed in Jesus as his Savior, the moment he realized that the sins of the world were passed on to Jesus through his baptism, the moment he believed in the baptism of Jesus and blood of the cross, he became righteous. The reason he mentioned himself the chief sinner was that he was remembering the time he tormented the followers of Jesus and thanking God for saving such a hopeless sinner as him. Who can declare him a sinner? Who can declare that a person who has become righteous by believing in the baptism and blood of Jesus for salvation is a sinner? These are only people who do not know the truth of Jesus' redemption. The Apostle Paul became righteous by believing in salvation through Jesus, and from that time on, as a servant of God, preached to everyone the gospel of becoming righteous by believing in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as the Savior. The Apostle Paul was not a sinner, but a righteous servant of God, a true servant who preached the gospel to the sinners of the world. Can a sinner preach the gospel of the water and the Spirit to others? It would never work. How can one preach to others what he cannot do himself? When he has not been saved himself, how can one save others? If a man was drowning and tried to help the man next to him, both would end up underwater. How can a sinner save others? They would only be taking them down to hell with themselves. How can a sick man save another sick man? How can one deceived by Satan save another? The Apostle Paul was a sinner but became righteous when he believed in the baptism and blood of Jesus and was saved from sin. Therefore, he could become a servant of God and preach the gospel to the sinners of the world. He could save many sinners with the righteousness of God. He himself was no longer a sinner. He was born again and lived not in the righteousness of the law, but in the righteousness of God. He became a servant and preacher of the righteousness of God who brought many back to God. He was not a preacher of his own fervor or the righteousness of the law, but the righteousness of God. Was he a sinner? No. He was righteous. As a righteous man, he became the apostle of the truth of God. Do not call him a sinner, because it would be an insult to God as well as a clear misunderstanding of the truth. He was righteous. We should not insult him nor Jesus by thinking otherwise. If we say he was still a sinner after he met Jesus, it is calling Jesus a liar. Jesus had made him righteous, and it was Jesus who made him a servant of righteousness. Can our sin be washed away by praying for repentance? Our sins can never be washed away by prayer and repentance because redemption can never come through our own works. Rather, in order to be washed of our sins completely and permanently, we have to believe in the baptism and the blood of Jesus and that Jesus is God. True redemption is given to those who believe that Jesus washed away our sins by being baptized and bleeding on the cross to give us new life. Then can we wash away daily sins by praying for repentance? No. All the sins we commit in our lives were already washed away almost 2,000 years ago when Jesus took them away with his baptism. We were forever cleansed of all our sins with the baptism of Jesus and the shedding of his blood on the cross. He became the sacrificial lamb for us believers, washed away all our sins with his baptism, and paid for them all with his blood on the cross. Even the sins we commit after believing in Jesus have to be washed away in the spring of salvation of baptism, the truth of redemption. Jesus has already become our Savior, and he has taken away all the sins we commit until the day of our death. Jesus came to this world and was baptized for thus, Matthew chapter 3, verse 15, and fulfilled all righteousness by taking away all our sins. The Son of God took charge of our sins by being baptized. The baptism of Jesus has the meaning of to be washed. Because all our sins were passed on to Jesus when he was baptized, we were completely washed of our sins, and that set us free from all our sins. Baptism also means to be immersed, to be buried. Because all our sins were passed on to Jesus, he died for us sinners. And those who believe that all sin was passed on to Jesus through his baptism become clean forever. True faith is to believe in our hearts that all our sins, even the sins we commit now, were passed on to Jesus about 2,000 years ago when he took away all our sins and for thus fulfilled the righteousness of God. If he had not washed away our sins all those years ago with his baptism, there would now be no way for us to wash away our own sins. Remember that all our sins were washed away by Jesus a long time ago. True faith and spiritual salvation today means bringing our sins before Jesus to make sure that they have been washed away, saying, "Lord, you have washed away this sin too, haven't you?" and to believe in him and thank him. That is why he came, was baptized, and died on the cross, and was then resurrected after 3 days, thus becoming our Savior. Blessed is the one who washes away his own sins by believing in the baptism of Jesus, who washed away all our sins. This is the truth of being washed of daily sins. True faith is to believe that Jesus took away all the sins of the world through his baptism. Romans chapter 8, verse 30 tells us, "Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." Is this the word on the gradual sanctification? This is not about gradual sanctification. Many theologians and false preachers have taught, those who believe in Jesus will change gradually and become completely sanctified in the flesh and the spirit, and many have believed it. But as a matter of fact, people find themselves becoming more stubborn, and the sin in their hearts grows as they get older. How can our sanctification depend on time? The word gradual sanctification is the one that God hates the most and the one the devil loves to use. We can only become righteous if we have nothing more to do with sin. Because Jesus washed away all their sins with his baptism and sacrificed himself to pay for them himself, we owe our righteousness solely to the baptism and blood of Jesus. We become righteous through belief in the fact that Jesus took all our sins on to himself. The word sanctification means to become holy. Trying to become sanctified by oneself is not to believe in the truth, but to be persuaded by one's own weak flesh. Gradual sanctification also comes from our own spiritual desire. All religions have a word for sanctification, but we who believe in Jesus should never place importance on the word itself. We do not become sanctified gradually by believing in Jesus. We become the righteous once for all by believing in the baptism and blood of Jesus, the gospel of spiritual salvation. The truly righteous are born of the faith in the gospel of the baptism and the blood of Jesus. Can confessing our sins make our sins disappear? No. Sins do not disappear with confession, but with faith in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Our sins can disappear only when we believe in the baptism and the blood of Jesus, which cleansed us of all sins. This is the gospel of the spiritual salvation of Jesus, who washed away all our sins with his baptism in the Jordan. The confession of sins is the acceptance of the law of God, but redemption is given to us only when we believe in the baptism and the cross of Jesus. The water of baptism and the blood of Christ is the truth of heaven that saved all people from sin, and our salvation does not depend on the confession of sins, but on believing that Jesus took all sins from all human beings with his baptism. The crucifixion of Jesus was the punishment for the sins he took away from us sinners. Therefore, our true salvation is in the baptism in the Jordan and the blood on the cross. The reason we were cleansed of all our sins is that we believe in Jesus who washed away all our sins. If there are those who preach that we can be redeemed by confessing our sins, they are ignoring the true salvation of God. Therefore, we must believe in the baptism and the blood of Jesus, the salvation of Jesus. Do not ever say that the sins of man can be redeemed by confessing them to God. Know that our sins will put us into hell, but sins can be washed away by believing in Jesus, his baptism and blood, which redeems us and lets us become righteous before God. It is the only way we can be saved from all our sins. Let us all become aware that we have been washed of our sins once and for all by believing in the words of truth, the water and the blood of Jesus. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 to 8. Sins are not blotted out every time we confess. If you insist on relying on confession, you will end up in hell. Let us believe in the true gospel so that the sins in our heart can be washed away. Believe with your heart, not with your head, and be free of your sins forever. What is the true gospel? The true gospel is the one that enables us to be free of our sins completely once we believe in it. The gospel of God is dynamite. The gospel of God is that Jesus Christ settled the debt for a debtor, sinner, who cannot settle his own debt. The reason for calling this gospel dynamite is that when we had to die for our sins and go to hell, when we had to be judged, the Son of God became the sacrificial offering for us in order to blot out all our sins. He came to this world once and took on all the sins of the world through his baptism in the Jordan and washed away all our sins forever. He paid up the wages of our sins by taking away all our sins with his baptism in the Jordan and by dying on the cross. Jesus blew up all the sins of the world like dynamite with his baptism and his blood. This is the true gospel. The true gospel is that Jesus came to this world and by being baptized and bleeding on the cross, saved all those who believe in him. As it is written in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, "This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth." Why did Jesus sacrifice himself on the cross? The sacrifice of Jesus was for our sins, which he took away through his baptism. He gave us his flesh to pay for our sins so that we could be set free from punishment for our sins. What we have to know is that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan to take away all our sins. We have to believe that Jesus died on the cross for this reason. If Jesus had not been baptized before he was crucified, if he had not died on the cross, all our sins would have remained. Therefore, we have to believe in the baptism and the blood of Jesus. Because Jesus is the Son of God, the sacrificial lamb, he was sacrificed to blot out all our sins. We should all believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was baptized to take away all the sins of the world, and that he was crucified for our sins. Jesus was baptized to take away all our sins, then was crucified so that we, the sinners, could be saved from all our sins and be free of punishment. Who is John the Baptist who baptized Jesus? God gave the Israelites his law through Moses as well as the sacrifice of redemption so that they could attain atonement for their sins and iniquities. He ordained Aaron, the brother of Moses, as the high priest and had him offer the sacrifice of atonement on the 10th day of the 7th month, the Day of Atonement, so that a year of Israel's sins could be washed away, Leviticus chapter 16. He specified that the sacrifice of the Day of Atonement could only be offered by the descendants of Aaron. God opened the way for the Israelites to atone for all their sins through the laying on of hands, the sacrifice of atonement offered by Aaron and his descendants. This is the law of atonement God established for us. He let it be known clearly that Jesus is the Savior of mankind. In the age of the New Testament, John the Baptist was a descendant of Aaron and the last high priest of the Old Testament. And John the Baptist, as the prophet of God and the representative and high priest of humankind, baptized Jesus, the Son of God, who came to save sinners and passed all the sins of humankind onto his head. All people are blessed indeed to be able to pass their sins on to Jesus through John the Baptist. The role of John was the high priest representing humankind, the servant of God who passed all our sins on to Jesus. John the Baptist is the representative and the high priest of humankind sent by God, and the messenger who was sent 6 months before Jesus. On the other hand, Jesus was the Lamb of God who took away all the sins of the world, while John the Baptist was the high priest who passed the sins of the world on to Jesus through baptism. John the Baptist was the servant of God. The Jordan in which Jesus was baptized. The Jordan River rapidly flows into the Dead Sea, where no living thing exists. The surface of the Dead Sea is about 400 meters lower than sea level. Therefore, the water of the Dead Sea cannot flow anywhere, being locked in the Dead Sea. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the River of Death, the Jordan River. It represents that all human beings, except those without sin in their hearts, face eternal damnation for their sins in the end. Therefore, the Jordan River is the river of washing away sins, the river where sinners die. In short, it is the river of redemption where all the sins of the world were washed away through his baptism, the passing of sins onto Jesus. What was the sacrifice of atonement for a day's sins in the Old Testament? There was the sacrifice of atonement for a day's sin. In order to atone for a day's sin, a man had to bring a lamb, a sheep, a bull, or a dove into the tabernacle and lay his hands on the sacrifice to pass his sins on to the sacrifice. This was the sacrifice of atonement for a day's sins, as given in the law of God, Leviticus chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. What was the sacrifice of atonement for a year's sins in the Old Testament? It was the sacrifice of atonement for a year's sins all at once. The high priest laid his hands on the head of a goat and passed on a year's sins of all the people of Israel all at once. Leviticus chapter 16, verses 1 to 34. The sacrifices for all the sins of the world were completed by Jesus Christ when he became the Lamb of God to take all sin onto his head through his baptism. What was the sacrifice for permanent atonement? It is the atonement for all the sins of the world once and for all by believing in Jesus. And because Jesus is the Son of God and our Lord who lives forever, he can take away all the sins of the world forever. How did he take away our sins forever? First, by being born in the flesh of man. Second, by being baptized by John the Baptist at the Jordan. And third, by receiving the judgment on the cross. The Son of God came to this world in the flesh of a man and was baptized to take away all the sins of the world through John the Baptist. He then bled on the cross to save humankind from all their sins forever. Leviticus chapter 16, verses 6 to 22, Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 22, 17, John chapter 1, verse 29, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, chapter 10, verses 1 to 18. Is redemption given once for all or gradually? It is given once for all because Jesus took away our sins once for all by being baptized once and received the judgment once and for all. He said, as recorded in Matthew chapter 3, verse 15, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." In John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And in John chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus said, "It is finished." In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 9 to 18, then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," says the Lord, "I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." Then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. All the sins of the world are redeemed once and for all by the baptism and the blood of Jesus. What is the wages of sin? The wages of sin is death. Regardless of what it is, every sin has to be judged before God, and the judgment for all sins is death. In order to atone for all sins, the people of Israel had to offer a sheep without blemish before God. Therefore, God prepared the lamb to deliver all people from all their sins. The lamb was subject to the laying on of hands to take away all sin, and then died instead of them. In the New Testament, Jesus took away all our sins through his baptism in the Jordan as the lamb and died for us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Since the wages of sin is death, Jesus expressed his love by dying on behalf of us and making a gift of eternal life for all the sinners of the world. Why did Jesus have to die on the cross? The death of Jesus was the payment for all the sins of the world, which he took away through his baptism. Humankind was facing death in the burning flames of hell for their sins. But because Jesus loved us, he accepted baptism, which passed all our sins on to him, and he died on the cross to save us. He sacrificed himself to save us from sin, from the curse of hell. His death was the payment for the sins of humankind. He was baptized to take away all the sins of the world and gave himself to judgment on the cross in order to save all of us from sin, death, judgment, and damnation. The death of Jesus was for the sins of the world, which he took on to himself at the Jordan, so that he could receive judgment for the sins of humankind. He died on the cross and was resurrected to let us live again as the righteous. What do we get when we believe in Jesus? First, we have all our sins taken away and become righteous. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 2. Second, we receive his Spirit and everlasting life, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 to 12. Third, we receive the right to become the children of God, John chapter 1, verse 12. Fourth, we gain entry into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, Revelation chapters 21 to 22. Fifth, we receive all the blessings of God, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 23. Why do we have to believe in Jesus? We are all sinners who would fall into hell without faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Only Jesus is our Savior who can rescue us from hell. We have to believe in Jesus because only He is the true Savior. Where do the people who believe in Jesus and are redeemed of all their sins end up? In heaven. Where do those who neither believe in Jesus nor are redeemed finally end up? In hell for all their sins, the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Who are the sheep of God? Those who receive spiritual salvation by believing in the baptism and the blood of Jesus. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. John chapter 10, verse 16. These who are goats because they believe in what they like are still sinners, but those who believe in the baptism and the blood of Jesus are saved once for all and are God's sheep. What is the true Church of God? The Church of God is where the righteous, those who are redeemed and sanctified in Christ by believing in the baptism and blood of Jesus, gather together and worship God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. The true Church of God, as recorded in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 5 to 6, is a place where all members believe in one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all. Who is a heretic in the Bible? A heretic is one who has sin in their heart while believing in Jesus. In Titus chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "Such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned." Jesus took all our sins with his baptism, but a heretic doesn't believe in the blessed gospel, the water, the baptism of Jesus, the baptism of redemption, which is the gracious present of God, but rather heretics reject salvation and condemn themselves as sinners. God calls those heretics who believe in Jesus yet condemn themselves as sinners. Titus chapter 3, verse 11. You must think if you yourself are a heretic or not. If you believe in Jesus but still call yourself a sinner, then you do not know the spiritual truth of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. If you believe in Jesus but still consider yourself a sinner, then you are a heretic. It is to slight the salvation of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, and also to prove that you're not a child of God. If you are one of those people who confess your sins before God and admit that you are a sinner, then you must reconsider your faith seriously. How can you still be a sinner when all your sins have been taken away by Jesus? Why do you keep trying to repay the debt when it was already taken care of by Jesus as a gift to you? If you insist on repaying the debt yourself, you are a heretic because you differ from God. Anyone who believes in Jesus but is not born again is a heretic. You must know the truth. Because God took away all the sins of the world, if you ignore His salvation, you are a heretic. A heretic is one who calls themselves a sinner. If you call yourself a sinner while you believe in the holy God, you are a heretic. In order not to become a heretic, you have to believe in the baptism of Jesus and His blood on the cross, together as a set. You can be saved only when you believe in both of them together at the same time, the baptism of Jesus and His blood.